Well, the provincial government launched a new plan this morning aimed, it says, at doubling offshore oil production by 2030 by reducing, amongst other things, development time for projects. Targets it's setting in the advanced 2030 plan include drilling more than 100 new exploration wells, tapping into multiple basins to produce more than 650,000 barrels of oil a day from new and existing projects, as well as finally getting into commercial natural gas production. At this morning's announcement at the Rooms, Premier Dwight Ball called the plan ambitious but achievable.
Our vision is for Newfoundland and Labrador to be the internationally preferred location for oil and gas exploration, for development driven by an innovative, sustainable, local industry that is globally competitive, environmentally responsible, and maximizes the benefits for Newfoundland and Labrador. By 2030, we envision over 100 new exploration wells drilled, multiple basins producing at 650,000 barrels of oil per day, shortened time from prospectivity to production, employment of over 7,500 people, a robust, innovative global supply and service sector, very important for Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, a commercial gas industry, renewables, and oil and gas integrated as a world-class energy cluster. We can wait no longer. We are at a critical point. The time for action is now. Thank you very much.
We're very pleased to have Minister O'Regan with us today. Our regional minister, O'Regan, has been highly engaged. He has been readily available, understands the issues, and is a strong advocate for this industry and this province. I'm proud to call him my friend, Minister O'Regan.
For this province to take its rightful place as a global leader in oil and gas development, it's going to require the cooperation and the commitment of every single person in this room today. Secondly, that we create a globally competitive industry where investors see a significant return and the people see a significant return from the development of their resource. That our people should be safe as they work in a valued industry. And that we have a shared commitment to preserving our environment for future generations. The federal government has a responsibility to enact a comprehensive assessment for the country. We've coined the soundbite, one project, one assessment, but maybe we can expand that a little and say, one country, one project, one assessment. Delivering certainty for investment has to occur at the national level and has to be manageable at the national level. There's a saying that duplication doesn't add value. I would take it further. Duplication destroys value. So where we saw it, we got rid of it. And that will continue to be our mantra going forward. Another one that the Environment Minister, Catherine McKenna, loves repeating all the time is no drama, no surprises. We understand industry doesn't want nor need surprises. And so where we can, we'll get rid of those too. Once a regional assessment has been completed, it is our intent to have the CNLOPB handle all exploratory wells. It just makes common sense. Once in place, the new process will have shorter time frames. The new process will have fewer but more rigorous scenarios that stop the clock. We want to make it very difficult to stop the clock. And the new process will bring certainty. It will bring predictability to the decisions that are made. We are delivering on exactly what this industry needs to succeed in the global market, but we know the job isn't done. So we will continue to deliver. On that, you have my word.
And that was Newfoundland and Labrador's federal cabinet member, Seamus O'Regan. Before that, we heard from the provincial natural resources minister, Siobhan Cody, who was emceeing that event this morning, and the Premier, Dwight Ball. Now, after all the speeches were finished, the Premier spoke with reporters, and here's some of that exchange.
What are you actually going to do to try and convince oil companies to spend the billions they're going to spend on exploration in this province?
Well, I think for us, it's really getting that certainty in place and making sure that we position Newfoundland and Labrador. We know there's tremendous opportunity off our shores right now, so we must set some focus, bring some focus to those opportunities, and make sure that we put in place measures that would attract that investment. Right now, the feedback from industry has been very supportive of Advance 2030. We see the Newfoundlanders and Labradorians that work offshore. They've been very supportive of this as well. So today's event really brings focus to how important the offshore oil and gas industry is to Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. It puts those measurables and those targets into window for us to achieve.
Will doubling production undermine what you're trying to do with the carbon tax later this year?
No, not at all. I mean, I think if you looked at the information and you look at the analysis, what we see, where the world is, there is a thirst for oil and gas throughout the world. Matter of fact, we would see through some of the analysis that we've already done is that we will see actually a growth in the oil and gas industry. That doesn't mean that you would not do that in an environmentally friendly, sustainable way. We also know that the oil and gas industry must find a way to green up. And in offshore Newfoundland and Labrador, we are doing a very good job at that already.
But if the point of the carbon tax is to reduce emissions, doesn't doubling production actually increase the province's emissions?
Well, it really comes down to what the world needs. Is there a customer that's attached to? Are there people out there that's looking for oil and gas? There are. We clearly know that. The move, the transition from where we are today with oil and gas to green energy will take quite some time. So while that transition is occurring and taking place, the world will still need oil and gas. So it's up to us. The challenge for Newfoundlanders and Labradorians will make sure that we do so in an environmentally sustainable, safe fashion.
Premier, you're announcing this as we're hearing about plans to buy power from Nova Scotia. What would you say about that?
Well, you know, for us, it's about keeping the energy costs down for Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. And this oil and gas symposium is not really about Muskrat Falls. That's a different debate for a different time. And I think you've heard me say many times, I never supported this project in the beginning. I don't think it ever, that project said that oil and gas or oil would never go down for over 50 years. So based on that premise, what we've seen here today is that oil and gas has certainly went down and the price has dropped. But right now, our focus when it comes to energy, when it comes to electricity for Newfoundlanders and Labradorians is to use every opportunity that we can to get the lowest possible price to Newfoundlanders and Labradorians.
And yet you're still pinning hopes for this plan on increasing demand and hopefully increasing prices, are you not?
Well, I am not. The world is telling us this. No matter what who you look to, which jurisdiction you look to, all the analysis says that the world will need oil and gas for the future. Our job right now and challenge is to attract that investments for the benefit of Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, taking advantage of the tremendous reserves that we all have off our shores.
Listening to the Premier and the others, along with you and me, has been Kyla Brough. She's the co-director of the lobby group for A New Earth. She's here now in the On the Go studio. Ms. Brough, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What do you make of what you just heard?
Oh, well, first and foremost, I think what we have to do when we hear these things is pay close attention to the language that is used. Now, luckily, I'm trained in philosophy, which for some people at the beginning can be a little off-putting, but I really think that what we have to bring to this discussion, for example, is how if you listen to just at the end of what Premier Ball was saying about the world telling us that it needs oil and gas, and it's just this apersonal agent, as we would call it, of the world that requires this, shows the way in which people use these types of justifications to just the forces that are carrying them along to say that this is a good project and it's one that's right for the people of this province. But then if we listen to what Seamus O'Regan was saying about how every single person needs to be on board with this, every single person needs to agree, then clearly we do not have consensus. So there's some disconnect there between do we go with the flow of the world, this apersonal force along which Newfoundland and Labrador is going to develop its industries do we do that, or do we actually stop and think for a second about whether or not this is what the people of this province want, particularly in the face of Muskrat Falls? And this is, again, where I disagree with Premier Ball. Muskrat Falls, different debate, different issue. For the people of this province, it is not. For the people of this province, that was supposed to be the saving grace. If you look at the statements from 2010, that was supposed to be the pinnacle of the generation of wealth. That was supposed to be what would save us from the decline of the oil and gas industry. And I really think that we're at, I think it was, was Premier Ball that said we're at a critical point, time for action now. And I really think that we are. But the time for action is not to say, hey, you know that multi-billion dollar project that didn't work out? The time for action, what do? We just go back to that other line of thinking and development that didn't really work out.
But we do need money. We do need jobs. The province, the provincial government is more than broke. We're borrowing money just to get by. How do we balance that very real need with the need to not contribute further to the amount of carbon that gets pumped into the air?
Well, exactly. I mean, that is a realistic concern, and it's one in which I've heard many people in the economics department at MUN talk about. And the idea is broadening the types of jobs in this province that could be possible, and realizing that the only people that need jobs, and Barb Neese from MUN has done a great job emphasizing this in a recent report, the only people that need jobs are not the people who are coming from the oil and gas sector. That our imagination has really been stifled by this narrative of only oil and gas, oil and gas, oil and gas. And it's also been stifled by the emphasis on certainty. You know, how many times did I note the word certainty and the need for no drama, no surprises, predictability, certainty? And this is a certainty that we're not necessarily going to achieve. So what happens if we employ the people in the oil and gas sector, forgetting, for example, the elderly, the disabled, the younger people, people without training, we get jobs in that area, okay? And then that certainty is not delivered. And then it becomes another financial disaster. And I really think that this is why this critical moment is one in which an organization like Fora New Earth can step in and say, what do we also need to do in critical moments? That is critical thinking. Okay, Muskrat Falls, something we don't think about? No, I think it is something we do think about. We think about where the Democratic deficit was in terms of how people talk about the feeling of being left out of the process of decision making. And we say, wait, Premier Ball, wait, this train is going too fast. Where can we ask questions about who is going to be consulted? How are we so, where do we get this certainty? How do we know how the global market is going to develop? Please give us those critical voices that say the demand for oil and gas is actually decreasing, or that at the time at which it might be developed, that this might not actually be the answer. So it's this critical voice that I really think needs to be mobilized. Not to say that what we had to do is stop all oil and gas production. I don't think that anybody who's in any way realistic in this province at this point in time would say that. But what we do need to say is that before we go forth with these projects in a streamlined train that doesn't stop, that is, like I said, that, to use the language they said, predictable, without surprises, and totally, going on a one-track progressive line, to ask, is that really the train we're on? Or are we on a train that has been derailed and crashed at Muskrat Falls and stopped, and that might not actually develop the way that they're telling us it will?
The Premier also made a point, and Seamus O'Regan did as well, to talk about this being done in an environmentally sensitive way. The Premier talked about green oil. It reminds me of clean coal in the United States. What does it make you think of?
Yeah, so there's just so much said that I couldn't touch on that right away. I guess I was more infuriated with the Muskrat Falls comment because I've spent so much of my recent time on that project. But this language of greening up, I mean, it's really ideological, and it's something that you can find on the websites of almost any major, oil company or industry. And I really think that, honestly, it's insincere. I say, how? Why? What? Like, how are you going to green up an increase in oil production? I mean, I can understand trying to talk about safety, but greening it up, I really think that, again, we require more imagination, more diversification and divestment when we want to talk about actually being ecologically engaged. And it's the same thing with, the language of sustainability. I think Premier Ball also mentioned that we're going to do this in a sustainable way. So what are we sustaining? Are we sustaining a province that is repeatedly going into debt, that the public debt is just exacerbating, and we're going to just keep doing that until the moment comes that all of this works out for us? Where are the multiple narratives and the multiple lines, on this issue? So I think that the greening up language is lip service. I don't think it's sincere, and I'd be critical of it.
We've got about a minute left. What is this renewed emphasis on oil doubling by 2030 due to our ability as a province to be interested in or embrace alternative energy, wind and solar and such?
I mean, unfortunately, my personal opinion, I speak only for myself on this, is that now large-scale renewable energy projects in this province are completely shut down as alternatives in which people will invest. And so you see the repeated struggles of Beothuk Energy, for example. We're still waiting to see whether or not that's going to pan out. People are very, very critical about where are these billion-dollar investors that, you know, they keep announcing they're going to eventually get one day. I think on a lower scale, this is probably the point at which I can be positive and say maybe we can take charge and start to commission and on our own at the university do studies on where and when solar energy could be an option. And we discussed this at our recent general meeting, actually, for Fora New Earth on February 7th. Jerry Rogers, Sheila O'Leary, and others were actually bringing up the fact that we just need to be critical and sensitive into what areas this can work. And when it can, then let's do it.
All right. We will talk again. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is Kyla Brough. She's co-director of the lobby group for a New Earth. Tell me, how do you think we can balance these competing needs, jobs and money, versus a planet that's not on fire? Call TalkBack. Let me know. 1-800-465-6846 is the number to dial.